Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. I'm your host, June, and this week I'm joined by Sydney.
Woohoo!
Today we also have a special guest, Nova. Nova, who are you?
who am I? That's a very deep question. Are you sure we want to answer that right now? I am Nova Westlake, and I've played a bunch of KeyForge. I make of KeyForge and SAS, and I've won some vaults and things.
Some vaults and things. Not literally probably the most famous player in the game. Not at all. No.
I don't know.
Listen, she went 0-2 at Worlds. I don't know. She's washed.
I worked really hard to get there, to go 0-2, I'll have you know. And
We all did. Yeah,
and losing to Fish was, you know, I love Fish. Fish is the most adorable. How could you choose a more cute token to lose to?
Perfect.
Personally, I think researchers are cuter.
No.
I mean, Blorb.
They're really cute.
Fish.
Blorb's pretty cute.
Blorb is, like, squishy.
Okay. Well, I think we can debate this all day, so let's agree to disagree there. There's no real KeyForge news. However, Sydney and I have a bit of a surprise for everyone attending Roseville Vault Tour later in April. We are throwing a party.
Yeah! Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is where my excitement goes over the top. I come from a history of going to science fiction conventions, and like during the day, there's panels and nerdy stuff and author things and love it. But like at night, there were hotel room parties, and I just want to bring that vibe to KeyForge. So basically we got like two connecting suites, and then we're just going to like have snacks and food and possibly alcoholic entertainment. And we're all just going to hang out and have an awesome time. So I guess if you haven't been considering or been on the fence, I know there's no news yet, and we are dying as well to get that news from Ghost Galaxy. But if you haven't decided yet, hopefully this is in your I want to come bucket.
Yeah, and rest assured, we will be playing KeyForge too. Might play like a little bit of like unique teams, or like get shackled with somebody you haven't played with before. And I think it should just be like a lot of fun, and just kind of like all that fun and wackiness that KeyForge can bring, you know?
Absolutely, and we'll bring more details as soon as we have them.
Yeah.
And when you say possibly alcoholic, what you're saying is that it's like Russian roulette with like the shots. Like maybe this shot's alcoholic, maybe this one's double. Like,
if you so choose. My idea was adaptive, using shots instead of chains. I'm excited for that one.
Idea.
It's a great idea.
Awesome.
So that's all our news. But yeah, Nova, you're here. I guess to talk about SAS development and Grim Reminders?
I guess I have some thoughts about this set. It's an interesting set to rate in terms of SAS. And it's also been really nice having help from a lot of people, like obviously no one in specific, like around about here. But June's been helping break some of the cards.
A little bit.
That's a fantastic segue, because I get to be the dumb person on this podcast. And as that person, not only am I going to ask questions, but I'm going to like prep our listeners to enjoy this conversation by giving just a little bit of information about the kinds of references we'll use, and especially talking about the SAS of things. SAS stands for synergy and anti-synergy. And so some of the letters or acronyms that we will be using are things like ARC, but we might be saying things like A, and A is amber control, and E is expected amber. When we say R, people say R a lot. Like a lot of podcasts will literally have just replaced the phrase artifact control with hard R, and creature control is C, and you so rightfully pointed out before the cast that EP is not effervescent principle, it's effective power. So something like D is disruption, recursion is U, efficiency is F. So we're going to be using those letters just in our normal conversation, because we're so familiar with using those letters in talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when we're talking about Grim Reminders, the set with the highest amount of FU.
Oh, I love it so much.
That was pretty epic.
All right. So I guess basically, why don't we start with, like, what do you think the experience has been like? Tell us a little bit, like, give us a little dive into what you've been doing.
Well, I think that one sort of interesting thing when rating different sets in SAS is, like, honestly, Coda was the easiest set to rate because so much of Coda is about just straight card value, right? Like, there are combos, but the combos are pretty, like, straightforward to put together. Oh, I have Nature's Call and a Dust Pixie. Well, that's easy. Like, I've got it. Whereas a lot of, like, if you have a more intensely, like, comboing and complex, like, system in terms of how a set interacts with itself, it's a lot harder to rate in SAS and ARC accurately. Like, the difference between SAS and ARC and most other KeyForge, like, rating systems that have or do exist, thank you, Z, is that it has the synergies and anti-synergies, like, ratings built into it. So that's meant to represent, like, combos, right? But, like, it's still really hard to set up synergies and anti-synergies that really represent combos. And this set has so many ridiculous combos that it's a very hard set to rate correctly. Like, we've talked so much in, like, the SAS, I renamed it recently a Keepers of SAS. I thought that sounded cooler than, like, SAS
Art. Love it.
We're going to keep the SAS around, right? but Doc Xylo, Dr. Xyloxylifrex, Doc Xylo is better. Yeah. So that guy has so many ridiculous, like, combos, because, like, there's Mars nonsense. If you have, like, multiple Ironix Rebels, he can pop off with just those and him by himself. But then if you have, like, targeted archiving, which of course Mars doesn't have any of in this set, he can generate even more Amber and bring even more creatures back from the discard. It's really complex and hard to rate a card like him and to do it accurately. And there's a lot of cards like him, like Retro Tech Lee and Witch Queen, and, like, there's all these.
So when it comes to rating cards, what is it that you're rating? Like, are you looking at, like, literally every single aspect of the text, or are you, like, combining certain concepts together to make it an easier scoring?
So I guess that, like, basically at the most basic level, we're trying to find, like, what can a card do that's really good about it? So, like, Dr. Xylo, for example, after Reap, play a Mars creature from your discard and ready it. So he's doing a couple things. Like, the main thing he's doing is recursion, because he's taking cards from your discard and recursing them back into play. So that's his primary thing. So we want to make sure that we represent with a high like, range of use scores how much recursion he provides your deck. And then the other thing is because you're readying that Mars creature, not only is he comboing himself with getting to be used instantly to bring creatures back or being used multiple times per turn with Ironix Rebel or, you know, other potential cards, he's also enabling your other creatures to synergize. So it's a system of traits. Like, he has the trait readies friendly creatures and uses friendly creatures and replays friendly creatures in-house, because he's doing it to Mars creatures exclusively. So those are meant to find other creatures in your deck that gain value from, you know, being used quite a bit. It's Mars, there's a fair number that really like being used. And then at the same time, he has synergies which take his value range from, like, low to high in terms of, you know, how much value he's generating for his own sake.
So I'm super curious, for Grim Reminders in general, did you have to specifically create or add or, like, come up with any new traits or synergies, like things that you hadn't rated or given cards credit for doing before Grim Reminders?
Yes, Haunted. You'll be surprised to learn that there's this thing Haunted that we thought. So Haunted is the main one for Grim Reminders. I've been trying to improve the way that the system works over time in terms of how traits and synergies interact with each other. And it's hard to explain because, like, I could try to show you, like, a couple hundred lines of code I've written to, like, you know, create things. But the basics of it is, as opposed to like one card directly synergizing with another card, over time I've been making it so that I give a deck or a house different traits, and the algorithm searches the deck and figures out, okay, how many cards do something that makes a deck haunted. So like, how many artifacts are there not going into the discard? How many cards are there that are milling friendly cards? How many cards are there that are causing discard effects? All of those increase your, you know, time to get to haunted.
Cool.
Or help you get back to haunted after you've reshuffled. And so I did make a trait called haunted that like searches the deck and finds those things. It's a little ghost in the lower right hand. Very cute. Like, would be definitely in the running for cutest token.
Love and, it.
That's one I made.
Yeah, that trait is like very interesting because it's something that Nova herself is working on and tuning and making sure that like it presents the right values. I mean, during SAS preview at some point, it was capped at 10 visually, despite going to like 15, yes. 16 sometimes. so we uncapped that, I think.
What do you mean by capped? Or but it could have been higher?
June is just pointing out my incompetence as a software dev. I thought that it was maxing out at 100% because I had like that in my code. Like, I could add the maximum it could get to, but then it wasn't. It was just going above it. And so I just...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was secretly higher than it looked, and it confused people.
For those listening, this is why, like, SAS preview, everything's all over the place all the time.
Oh yeah. Like, all this was under development. And so the thing was that how haunted your deck gets was under development. At the same time, we're developing how much a card mm-hmm. cares about you being haunted and how valuable the card is. So there's like three separate like interconnecting sliders that all like get your card to be where it is. And
it's
that's
so
like
cool.
Why it is true. It's like why your decks have been jumping like 20 SAS if you've been trying to keep up with our debates and
so are the changes that are being made and the numbers that are being tweaked and everything, are those for a pool of specifically if your deck is in the Grimreminder set, or are you tweaking cards that may be in other sets as well, but because you're tweaking them, they are changing previous sets, or are you not tweaking them at all because you've already gone through the process of setting them up for success because they were in previous sets?
All of the above, like 100%, unfortunately. It's like there's a goal to like get version 1 of Grim Reminders SAS like nicely done and released. And like we do a little bit of future proofing, but there's this like frustrating zone of like I don't want to spend a bunch of time future proofing because that creates more work, and if there isn't a payoff later on, there's actually a cost later on because then we have to maintain those different, you know, traits and synergies. There's a lot of clicking in the interface to build these scores, and the more complex the traits and synergies are, the harder it is to understand what's going on, to see,
sure.
to maintain consistency with past cards. Like, so it's a little bit of both. We've definitely tweaked some cards that are reprints in the set. And we've primarily been focusing on new cards in this set, but sometimes you need to tweak cards for new combos that, you know, didn't exist before that you're like, well, this is really important. We need to make sure this is represented. The other thing is, and we're going to be doing this a lot more after version 1 of Grim Reminders is released, but I've been trying to improve old things as well. Z is very passionate about key cheats. If you don't know, like, Z loves key cheats.
So yes.
He wanted to take on, like, Nova, I've been telling you for, like, 4 years the key cheats are underrated in your system. And, like, I am finally learning to delegate enough to let him fix those.
So, oh, my gosh. Yes. Love it.
Yeah, so expect some changes to your old decks there. I, as, like, somebody new, like referencing old cards to figure out, like, you know, base values and stuff, how things are done, and which like traits and synergies are used to represent these like basic effects. And as I do, I scroll through old cards. I'm like, wait, hold on. And so there's some that get fixes there. just like updating things to like modern KeyForge.
So, June, what has been your favorite part of this so far?
Oh, I like talking about cards. So
no, that,
so I get to do it a lot now. And not only that, like, I get to like watch my ratings, as well as like my new friends' ratings, like actually change with a number, right? So I can see what tangible effect it has, which is actually very helpful for me, both in like understanding cards and also like playing cards, right? It's like cause this more experimental play, and like I'm already a bit of an experimental player, but you know, if Nova says like Winds of Death is in a 7-sass card, I'm like, well, let me try to make it one. let me play it until it is.
That's a great point. So you just mentioned a number. You pulled a number out of somewhere that, like, to me as a human makes no sense out of nowhere. So Nova, can you like give us a little bit of like a, what do the numbers mean? Like, what is the range? Like sometimes amounts of credit that a card gets go into like the decimal places. Like how does that happen?
Well, there's like some of it's just conventions to make it simple for us as feeble human brains to work with things. Like, for example, like when we're actually putting the scores on cards, we always keep them within a quarter of a point.
Cool. Most,
so like it's like 0.25, but the problem is the synergies. The synergies go like incrementally, like so if you have a card that goes from 0 amber, you know, control to 1 amber control, and it's synergized like to 60, I don't know, 8%, it's going to be 0.68 amber control, because synergy ranges aren't like forced into clean like 0.1 or 0.05, like I don't know, rounding things. There's, you know, don't talk to me about rounding.
It's the bane of my existence in Excel. I can't imagine how it works in coding.
Oh, it's fine in coding. The problem is when humans see it and they're like, this doesn't look like it's rounded correctly. And I'm like, no, I'm sure. But maybe it isn't.
Oh, no.
my favorite thing is my decks, it's like, this deck looks way too damn high, and looking through the whole list of cards on the deck page and being like, this card is wrong, it's too high, this card is wrong, it's too high. I'm just like that person who loves like bringing things down and like destroying things. That's probably why I love this. so yeah, I like going through and nerfing everything.
So yeah, what are some of your favorite cards? Can you talk about like when some of the favorite cards that you've scored, or in that case, like nerfed from other people?
Mm-hmm. So like we all sort of split up by different houses for the initial round of ratings. And we conveniently had approximately one person per house, so that was good.
Nice.
I did the initial pass on Geistoid cards, and I like some of them. June also feels very passionately about Well of Memory, but like I think Well of Memory is super cool. Like you just mentioned, like how can and I don't think I actually answered your question fully. So you mentioned like how can Winds of Death have like 7 value, right? So 7 is amber equivalent value. So like theoretically, it's worth 7 amber. The whole thing that SAS is predicated on is the idea of a single pass through your deck, very different in Grim Reminders, but conceptually imagine that you're still playing the cards as if you were doing a single pass on average for each card. So something like Winds of Death, if it's like doing so much value that it's like creating C value, it's creating archiving value, it's doing these things for you, they would be equivalent to just a card printed with 7 amber. Like that's the goal.
That's the bar cool.
Cards based off of. So, and like Well of Memory, like is a really cool card with that. Like how do we even like represent that in the synergy system? Because like if you archive a ton of cards with Winds of Death, and you have Well of Memory, you can use it to clean your hand of the creatures from houses you didn't want, so that you still get to draw the turn after you pull your archives from a Winds of Death turn, as long as you're calling Geistoid, you know.
So how does that work with cards with very high variance, where, like, if in a turn it is appropriate to use that card, it has a huge effect, but if in a turn it is inappropriate to use that card, you may discard it. How do you assign that a value?
My favorite example of this is Market Fluctuation, which is a card. If you play it on turn one, it gives you an amber, and then each unhaunted player discards three cards. Each haunted player draws three cards. So turn one, I'm going to play this, I'm going to gain an amber, and my opponent's going to discard three cards and start the game with a three-card hand, right? Like,
yeah.
And that is easily what, like a four and a half set. Discarding a card from your opponent's hand is worth like one, but discarding three feels somehow more powerful than three times one.
Well, no, it actually is more powerful, because if you have more cards in hand, there's like, it's less impactful to discard one. It is literally.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
So that as a base, like on turn one, insane. And then sometimes you just can't play it because, like, it's the reverse situation where your opponent will draw three and you'll discard three.
Right.
And discarding three for yourself isn't necessarily bad, but them drawing three is pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then there's just the range of possibilities, like from them discarding three, you drawing three, or nothing happening, or it's really hard to rate. And like, if we're judging it based off of just how much you control your discard and your opponent controls their discard, or you control your opponent's discard, it kind of approaches that, but then it doesn't really count for just like drawing a turn one or archiving it. So you just, you know, when it happens, it happens.
Right. Interesting. That's so crazy.
To me, it's like one of the most conditional cards in the game.
Sure. And not just because, like, some cards are literally, if you meet X condition, do Y. Or if you, and then if you don't meet that condition, it literally just goes into your discard. But like the ones with decision points, where do you want to take the risk that it presents versus getting the reward? That is, I can't imagine rating cards like that.
Well, the other thing is, we do try to like use a sort of simplifying like mental idea to rate those cards. So if you think that, like, if we have to make a lot of assumptions, though, and those assumptions are unfortunately often wrong. But like, let's say that we decide that Gateway is a card that we play, like, I don't know, one out of three times. Then we take like the C that we think Gateway is worth when it's played and played well, and we divide that by three, because you're getting that value one out of three times. And then same thing actually should happen with the chains from Gateway, right? Because like, you're gaining chains from Gateway, that's a downside, that's actually a negative efficiency score in the system. So we'll also divide that to one third of the normal chain value, which does confuse people. They're like, why doesn't this have the same chains as this one? I'm like, well, but that one always plays the card and you always get the chains, and this one you discard it and you don't always get the chains.
That's crazy. So one of the cards you brought up before we started recording was Witch Queen. And I think that is such an incredible card to talk about, because not only does it have a lot of text, but it also like brings in other cards. So like, do you take into account the fact that cards are connected? Do you have to like somehow combine all of the effects on one card into specific traits? Or like, how does a card like that even, how do you start with a card like that?
Well, I mean, that's in some way, like, sometimes it feels like nice and beautiful building SAS, because like, I can just forget about all that to some extent. Like, ideally, ideal world, I could forget about all that because I've rated the traits and synergies on, I don't know, Hunting Witch correctly. So you pull Hunting Witch into the deck, it's already traded and rated correctly. If I have cards that are returning, you know, creatures to hand, like Witch Queen, then Hunting Witch is already gaining value from that trait being on Witch Queen, because Hunting Witch has a synergy with the like replays friendly creatures.
Genius. That's amazing. Like, I never even thought of that. It does have a ton of synergies and traits.
Now, please don't look at Hunting Witch. too closely, though, because it's old and it needs revision after Grim Reminders. We have some deprecated traits, and I've made new fancy traits, so we're going to improve some old cards. But
ooh, I like it. You want to give us a sneak peek at some traits that might be on the way out?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's complicated, but like, for example, like I had talked for a long time about, oh, I should build a trait to represent captured Amber better in decks.
Sure.
Because it's a complicated thing. It's complicated, like whether it goes on a creature. The real problem with captured Amber and Exalt is that you have like capture, you have Exalt. Some cards care about whether something is just exalting. Some cards care about whether it's just capturing. Thank you, Scrivener Favian. those are capture pips, sorry. But same difference, I guess.
Totally.
So like you have like these different things that care about different things, and you have some cards that care about Amber being stacked on one creature. You have other cards that care about Amber being spread around among a variety of creatures. So you have this like wide variety of things, and it's really hard to like rate Tribute Six Simper properly while also rating Senator Brockus and I don't know.
But like Curiosaurus. Yeah,
Curiosaurus, or like how do I rate Senator Brock? I don't know, it's complicated. Like,
yeah, it sounds incredibly complicated. Short,
so I made like two traits for Captured Amber, which are deck traits now, and it's doing the same thing as with Haunted. It's searching the deck, it's finding the capture pips, it's finding the cards with the traits. Tried to standardize a little bit better, like how the traits are set up on cards that do capture Amber, so it's more consistent. And then I try to rate how much Amber do I expect this deck to capture. There's just one trait for captured Amber friendly, and then there's another trait for targeted captured Amber from friendly. So like one of them is better for Six Emperor, and sure, the other one better for Senator Brockus.
That's beautiful. That sounds fantastic. What a way to take a concept and just make it at a level at which like a normal Keyforge player will never think about it that way, you know? Like, oh, speaking of normal Keyforge players, you two have seen these cards in ways that, like, right now, a lot of people are exploring their Grim Reminders decks for the first time. They're not, like, intimately looking at the whole card pool and deciding how good the cards are in that card pool. I'm very curious to know what you two think about Grim Reminders as a set, because if you are looking at cards and thinking of them as just pure upgrades of other cards, or looking at, June, like you said, looking at other cards to see how other cards have in other sets have determined what traits and synergies things should have. Like, what are your opinions of Grim Reminders as a set based on the work that you've done?
Well, I think that it's interesting that, so Keyforge has a wide range of card quality. There's a lot of Niflheims and there's a lot of MTPs. You get both of them in bunches. but I guess it's interesting that they not only like just upgraded the quality of like bump on the road like creatures, like Trawler. Like I can't believe that Trawler is such a good card, but it kind of is a good card. you have wait a turn before you win. Like I'd like another turn to try to win myself.
What about you, June?
I have a lot of the same reactions as people to the new cards. Like, they're really crazy, right? And sometimes it feels just like strictly unfair, or like, how do you even play against Grim Reminders? I have a few friends who are in that rut currently.
Aww.
Who are like, oh, okay, like, what? How do you even compete? At the same time, like, Grim Reminders is fighting on like generally pretty specific vectors. Right. And so I'm also seeing like where these decks are lacking and where they're strong, and like what kind of fights against them. And I've more recently been thinking that about like what I need to play against Grim Reminders, and having a lot of fun with that. And it still gets frustrating when, you know, you face against the wrong thing, right? Like you face against the beanstalk and you didn't have 30 board wipes or
right
or artifact control in time and you lost. But I think in general, like, other sets do have a fighting chance into Grim Reminders. Mm-hmm. Like, more than I think some other people do.
Sure. One of the things that will always do well against even power creep is if you bring your own win condition to the table, Grim Reminders has to deal with you as much as you have to deal with Grim Reminders. And I think both of you mentioned key cheats at some point, and I also love key cheats. Thank you, Z. But I think that the fact that there are so many key cheats in Grim Reminders means that it's going to have a easier win condition outside of the Forge a Key step than any other set before.
That's true.
It's aggressive.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's why it feels intimidating sometimes, is it's aggressive and it wins fast, or it wins it wins in spades, like it just. But also, like, there are weaknesses to it, and like Grim Reminders hate to get slowed down. And they don't have like a ton of disruption. There's like a few choice cards I pointed out, like Market Flux or Brawling Grounds. Their speed is very reliant on combos. So I feel like they're like pretty weak to disruption themselves.
I feel like scaling Ember Control is a big deal too. Like too much to protect.
Oh, yeah.
It's like going to turn off a lot of the raw Amber value in terms of bursts that it can do. There's so many like Amber bursting combos that I think that scaling Amber Control is incredibly important against the set.
Yeah, the amount of times I've seen somebody burst to 14 Amber is
funny. And don't they, on the flip side, Grim Reminders doesn't have very much scaling Amber Control, right?
It does not.
Yeah, there's like 1.5 pieces. There's Forge Master Og and Memorialize the Fallen.
So it's basically doing its own thing and trying to win faster than you can stop it.
Yeah. Sid, did you have any other questions for...
I have a million other questions, but I think I'll just sit you down at a vault tour, put a mic in front of you, and then we can all like get your genius in the moment.
It's true. We'll find you at that party.
I'm an in-the-moment type lady or something. If I have a sec, I do want to call out the folks who have been helping.
Absolutely.
For the cards. I guess... Who needs real person names? I don't have real person names. Roger Schrubber has been doing a ton of work on Mars. He's spent so much time like learning the SAS system and how the traits and synergies work. This is very idiosyncratic. It's straight from my brain. My brain is not a normal place. So he's done a lot of work. Z's been helping out Quick Draw 3457. Just in case.
Cool. You remember.
Player Herb June has been helping out, as well as Jay Philippeg. So those are the folks who have been helping out. Oh, like, and Roger, he even went and raided the Key Rakan.
Whoa.
Who doesn't love the Key Rakan?
That's above and beyond the Call of Duty right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Raiding the Key Rakan is way above. I don't know.
Yeah, I was the one who raided Spectral Ruth and like some of the other Revenants, so you can send your Haven to me.
Love it.
Go into the SAS back channel in the doc Discord and just ping June like every hour. What's wrong with this Revenant?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Well, we cannot end an episode of Help from Future Self without our titular segment.
Help from Future Self. Future Self.
Nova, you got one for us today?
Yes, so I was for quite a while planning on going with my thing that I wanted to tell my past self. I got it. My past self was I wanted to plan to have something to say as my future self. But I think that a better thing is just, I did scrub out N Worlds really hard, and it was for one very, very specific reason, which is just I really wish I had noticed that there was a Vapminder on the board and a Freshmark still in deck. I had all the information I needed to prevent the Berserker combo. I just didn't do it.
Wow.
It's okay, past Nova. we're still here. We're
yes,
still alive.
We still heart you.
We still heart you. You're not washed up. I was joking.
it's all incremental upgrades. I just upgrade Nova with a little knowledge, like every game. That's the goal. Losing is losing is the best thing in Keyforge, because mm-hmm. unless their deck was, I don't know, nonsense and they just won on turn one, you probably have to learn.
Well, that's really good to know, because when I play Archon, I'm losing a lot. So good to know that's the best way to improve at Keyforge.
That's how you get better.
I lose a lot. Well, that'll be it for Help from Future Self this week. We are on Discord and Patreon. You can find me on Discord as June. Help from Future Self is the best place to find me. What about you, Sydney?
I am SC Steele on PCO and Discord.
And Nova, where can people find you? What do you got going on?
I just go to the this cool site called decksofkeyforge.com. There's an about page and a contact me. You can go there.
Yeah, we'll link that in the show notes, because if you don't already know what that is, we want it at your fingertips.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this week, Nova. We'll be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forging.